Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but hardly duplicated. Get this. I've been knocking out bums for four decades, right? 40 years of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer. So guess what? I bring a unique combination to ask. But guess what? I'm not buying the pay-per-views. Well, are you buying the pay-per-views? Because the bottom line is, next week is a pay-per-view worth buying. I'm talking about David Benavidez and David Morrell. Of course, the Battle of Dave is going down at 175 pounds because Canelo Alvarez, El Pollo, El Gran Pollo Canelo, of course, the greatest duck artist in the history of boxing, Mr. Chicken himself, didn't want to fight Morrell or Benavidez. So he made those guys go up and wait. Is that? Or they had to wait around and wasn't going to get the fight. Bottom line is, you know Canelo is like the spring chicken right now. Guy's ready to go. There's no doubt about it. He's in his on the way out. No doubt about that. He's going to take on Terrence Crawford, a welterweight. Of course, a welterweight, maybe not even a welterweight, a junior welterweight or a lightweight. Terrence Crawford broke in at 135 pounds, 147, of course. That was really made his peak, 154 pounds the last time out against Israel Madrimov. Didn't look all that good, but the bottom line is he was a winner. Now he sets up the fight with Canelo Alvarez. Now, the Saudi Arabian prince, call him what you want, the Turk, whatever, bottom line is, he's trying to set this up. I'm against him being in boxing. Of course, I shouldn't be, but, you know, I just am. The reason I say I shouldn't be is that everybody else is getting some of that Saudi Arabian money except me, so the only one knocking the Saudi Arabians is me. And the reason being is not because I'm not getting any money from them, is because I don't think it's good for one guy to control everything. I mean, look at the current status of the country. But the bottom line is, one guy shouldn't control everything. I think this guy's looking to control the sport of boxing. Of course, talking about doing fights like Dana White. Now, I'm sort of down with that, but Dana White's in the pimping guys. He's in the paying people. Listen, the Saudi Arabian guy's in the paying people, so that would be a different contrast because Dana White gets the best fights for a little bit of money. This guy wants to put the best fights on for the most money. More power to him, maybe. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 1-800-878-PLAY. It's 1-800-878-7529. This is your inside look in the world of boxing on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, and live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295. Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Little Average White Band coming back from the break, of course, from their original LP, AWB, back in 1976, somewhere around there. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk. 77? I don't know. Bottom line is Average White Band retired, of course, this past November after 52 years of performing. Of course, I got to see one of their last performances, introduce them at the Yoshi's over in Oakland, California. That was an honor, no doubt about that. And Alan Gorey, the godfather of the Average White Band, has retired at the age of 81. He says he retired. We'll see what happens. But the bottom line is AWB is done. So their lead singer, Brent Carter, was unemployed, right? So he's unemployed, and he tells me, shh, don't tell anybody, but I signed with a bigger band. I said, really? He goes, well, tell me what band. He goes, I can't tell you till the follow-up. So I said, okay. So I put it out there. What band did Brent Carter sign with, right? So he calls me up. He says, you got to pull it off social media. Pull it off social media. I said, why? Why? He goes, because, you know, the band's going to get ticked off, this and that. So, okay, bottom line is we don't know what band Brent Carter's going to, but evidently we will know as of the 1st of February. Speaking of the 1st of February, of course, that's the Battle of the Davis, Morrell and Benavides. We'll get into that in a minute. But this past Thursday, at some ungodly hour from the Tokyo Dome, of course, in Tokyo, New Mexico. I take that back. It was at the Ariake Arena in Kotoku, Japan. But the bottom line is talk about Pisu Spit. No, his name wasn't Pisu Spit. It was, when I say spit on the show, I mean spit with an H. But the bottom line is his name was Yeju Kim. Poor Yeju Kim came in like on a two weeks' notice, didn't win a minute of a round and lost in the fourth round, was knocked out, of course, by the Noah Noi, still undefeated, the 122-pound world champion, pound for pound, the king of boxing. Now, without further ado, we introduce the king of the media. I was talking about boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. Now, from Noah Noi to you, pal, you got to take it over. What's happening?
How are you, brother? Thank you for the extremely kind words. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Now, you know that piece of spit. When I say spit on the show, I mean spit with an H. And the bottom line is this Korean guy came in at the last minute, and he flopped like a fish.
Yeah, some young guy was not too lucky. Anyway, it's just, I mean, not that you needed this to verify how great he is, but he's a special fighter. I mean, even if he's fighting a Hammenegger, a guy that was, I believe, in 125-1, shot, and no fault of his own. He was a late replacement. We know this. The Australian fighter just seems to, you know, just he couldn't get out of his own way, out of his own camp.
No. Expand on that. The guy cut himself twice. Sam Goodman, I believe, from Australia, of course. He was cut once in training, and then he was cut again later on. In other words, they postponed the fight for a month and got cut a second time. First of all, he shouldn't have got cut the first time because he should have been wearing a full face protector, especially with a white guy from the UK. Feel me?
Absolutely. Hey, okay. You know, and then in between there, he caught a COVID. So, you know what? Listen, you know, the Lord speaks to people in mysterious ways. And I think you just have to tell Mr. Goodman something. You don't need this man in your life, okay? You may need a payday, but that beating isn't worth it.
You know, psychologically, that's got to be a rough thing to prepare for. Because any fight that I ever went into, I thought I could win. I just thought I could win. I mean, there was even guys who were bigger than me. I mean, I never thought I was going to lose. I mean, in a street fight, I never did. But I'm talking about in a ring. I never thought. I went into every single fight with no one else. I don't know how that is. And I wanted to ask Dave Jaco that. Steve Jaco, of course, was a journeyman fighter. They had that little book about him, Palooka, and that kind of good stuff. But he was a guy, we went to Japan. I think he fought David Bay in his last fight back in 1993 and 1994 in Macau. And he had traveled the world. He fought Mike Tyson, all these different guys. But, you know, how can I put this? You look at him, and he seems to be undamaged from boxing as far as heavyweight boxing is concerned. And other guys you see, and they're severely damaged. Is it a coin toss as to who gets CTE and who doesn't, boxing's PhD? Is it just a flip of the coin?
Well, I'm not a doctor, and I haven't stated how they end, but I was going to say yes. I think it is a coin flip. Everybody's body is built different. You see fighters like, I'll give you an example, Julio Cesar Chavez. Over 100-something fights, you know, and as we know, he has well-documented alcohol and drug abuse. And the man is as sharp as a whip still, you know, and he's still doing exhibitions. You know, and then you have guys like, you know, Bobby Chacon, you know, which is the extreme opposite. So it is a coin flip.
Bobby was, let me tell you, Bobby was a weird dude. Let me tell you how weird Bobby was. Bobby, like, got into all kinds of different drugs, cocaine, all this kind of crazy stuff, and then he sort of cleaned himself up. And his wife, I guess it was, like, in June of 1982, before he fought Lamone for the title for the fourth time in December of 1982, winning a 15-round decision. But his wife told him, either you quit boxing or I'm leaving you. He said, you're not going to leave me. She blew her head off. She killed herself. She committed suicide. All right. So anyway, so Chacon goes through with a fight against a guy named Bob Toomey, like in a couple days later, you know, ham and egger type of guy. And then of course he comes back and he beats Lamone for the title over 15 rounds. Of course, December 11th, 1982. Of course, the reason why I know that is that Don Chargan brought me in ringside because I kicked his guy's ass. That's right. The Forum Boxing, some guy from San Diego, and Don Chargan Promotions all sent somebody to see me fight Keith Rucker, and they sent it. They went to see Keith Rucker. I'll never forget my mother telling me that. I said, "How do you know, Mom?" I said, "Mom, you're agitated." She goes, "No." She goes, "They're all surrounding Keith Rucker's guy out there. Then they're not coming here and talking to you, are they?" I said, okay. So 12 seconds in the fight, I almost spit on Keith. That's how much respect I had for him. He was 6'2" and knocking out everybody, 8-0 with 6 knockouts. But when I had him down 12 seconds in the fight, I shouted some obscenities at him that the referee, Brent Venegas, reminded me of about a year ago. He said to me, "You're lucky I didn't disqualify you right then and there, because history would have been a lot different."
You might have spoken on the ref.
No, I pushed on the ref one time. Ruben Santiago Ruben Santiago. Check this out. Me and Bill O'Neill was a friend of mine. We're going back and forth in the Golden Glove fight, and I knocked him down like for a long count. I thought the count was like real long, right? So Bill hits me with one punch. I don't buckle, nothing like that. Santiago jumps in and stops the fight. Just like that. So a riot ensued there at the Civic Auditorium in San Francisco, of course. And I led the riot to an extent. But the bottom line is, you know, I mean, come on, man. Everybody, that was like the worst of all the. Hey, and so here's what's up. So they got on me. They were going to suspend me for a year for putting my hands on a referee. Then I showed them the film. Okay, then I showed him the film, and when I'm not staggered, my knees don't buckle, nothing like that, he connects with one punch, and the guy stops the fight. So with some type of BS going on beforehand. In fact, you know, speaking of, I might as well rain on the amateurs right now. The amateur referee that refereed a Golden Glove fight for me in 1982 where they took away 2 points in the championship fight, took away 2 points because I was roughing this guy up and I lost a split decision, so I never lost a championship fight after that. But the referee told me when I got him drunk at some WBC convention back in 1992 in Spain that he was told not to let me win.
Wow. Just straight up?
Marty Salmon. Marty Salmon straight up and told me that. That's what happens when you get guys drunk, to tell you the truth.
Vini Vidi Verdici, right? And wine, that is true, right?
I was blown away by that. And I said, who did that? He goes, the tournament director. And, of course, that was a cop, a fellow policeman out of Sacramento, California. Can't think of his name right now. But he committed suicide, so more power to him.
Couldn't have happened to a better guy.
I can't remember his name right now, but Otis Grimble. That was his name, Otis Grimble. And when I found out, I mean, all this stuff you find out, you know, like 10 years after I've retired this and that, I find this stuff out at a WBC convention in Spain. Oh, but the highlight of the WBC convention, I got to tell you, Saki, ready?
I think it
was 1992, is that Don King was standing on a stage drunk as a skunk. I mean, drunk as a skunk on a stage, and Suleiman standing next to him, Jose Suleiman standing next to him, and I said to the people I'm with, I said, listen, Don's pretty drunk, man. He's liable to fall off that stage. And they're all chuckling about it. So I told Suleiman, keep an eye on Don. You know, I mean, come on, man. Nobody wants to see somebody fall 15 feet to the floor. Okay, so anyway, Don gets close to the edge, and he's got 10 grand in his hand. He's giving away this 10 grand to some local charity. He's got $10,000 in $100 bills. So he falls off the stage, must have fallen 13 to 15 feet, hits the floor. His face and his head hit the ground. Bottom line is, he got hurt, but he didn't drop a dollar bill. He didn't drop one. Not one of those hundreds went out, man. I mean, his hand, he wasn't letting go of it.
Wow. You can't accuse him of being a fumbler.
I was absolutely blown away by that. I just was. I mean, that was good old DK, of course. That was 1990. I can't believe it was that long. Hey, that was a place when Malaga, Spain, I'm walking through Spain, it was like they have siesta in the afternoon, so it said men's club. So I said to myself, hey, let me go in this place, right? There was nothing but men in there. It was like one guy for every guy. Wrong place for me. Straight up, this is Ring Talk.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You know what really grinds my gears? When I've had better fights on the toilet after eating Taco Bell. Jake Paul and Mike Tyson finally faced off in what was a snooze fest, most likely due to Tyson's older age and recent leg injury. The champ just could not move like he used to, and despite a good first round, he proved heavily winded, which only got worse as the rounds went on. Still, though, respect for Mike Tyson for stepping back into the ring after so long, but in the end, Jake took the victory by unanimous decision. And that, people, is what grinds my gears.
Jake Paul and Mike Tyson saw a picture of them this week. They're sort of like shaking hands, probably splitting some of the money. Straight up, they made a lot of money, folks. No doubt about that. And it was a bit of a farce. No doubt about that. Of course, those of us that thought Mike Tyson would go give it a shot, he had nothing to shoot with. Straight up, of course, 58 years old, 59 years old. Call it what you want, but it was a sad decline for a one-time great heavyweight champion. You agree with me there, Sock?
Very well said. They're both laughing all the way to the bank.
Exactly. All right. So back to Illinois. When's he going to come to the United States and fight me or somebody? You know, I mean, he can fight anybody here. We just want to see him fight here.
Yeah, well, we're going to get our opportunity. If Bob Arum was accurate, he jumped into the ring post-fight and said that he was going to work to get him in Las Vegas. As far as I know, I mean, he's been very active. So you'd probably guess it'll be sometime in the late spring. So in Vegas, it'll be to probably set up what would be the greatest fight in the history of Japanese boxing. Him and Nakatani on the same card. You put them on American soil. You get eyeballs on them. They build it up, let the hype machine go, and then they'll have the big fight in Japan probably towards the end of the year. You would hope in the perfect world. So if you want to see the monster, you're going to get a chance.
Of course, that's at the Tokyo Dome, which is, of course, where Mike Tyson melted down against Buster Douglas back in February of 1990. In fact, February 11th, 1990, which is Larry Merchant's birthday. Of course, Larry Merchant is 94 years old. He has he's escaped the fires, per se, down there in Santa Monica, California, but he was freaking out. Hey, take it back. He went to a boxing meeting yesterday, so things are okay, but the bottom line is there for a few days, the Godfather was on pins and needles, man.
I can't blame him, you know. I mean, that was just, it's ironic that it happened in the heart of Hollywood.
Well, I think his condos were $10 million. I mean, when you live in an area where your house is worth $10 million bucks and you're worried about it burning down, this ain't the hood.
No. Home box office paid well, I guess.
Wow. No, but it's on the Santa Monica Beach boardwalk. It's the penthouse apartment facing the water. Okay, you know what I'm saying? It's the most prime spot in the entire world as far as the Santa Monica is concerned. So I'm thinking it's worth about 8 to 10 million. I go there and people, they almost frisk you down going in the building. You know, the white guys, the security guys looking at you. who are you here to see? I'm here to see the Godfather. Who's that? Larry Merchant. Oh, the boxing guy.
Hey, listen, I mean, the funniest bit was Tracy Morgan. He was on, it's probably not the most PC thing to say, but he says, if he ever sees anybody in his neighborhood that looks like him, he calls the cops first.
You know, as a private investigator, I do surveillance in a lot of different neighborhoods, and I only call the police. I tell the police when I'm, you know, like I go into certain cities and certain towns, and out to like Lafayette, Narinda, places like that. I tell them, hey, look, I'm here. I'm doing surveillance in a black car, blah 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 blah. And I tell them because you know the cops in Lafayette, California, one time I didn't tell them, and the cops rolled up on me with guns.
ouch.
Yeah, you know, a little scary. And my dog is like snarling at him. They were talking about shooting my dog. Hey, be cool. What are you guys doing out here? We heard that you parked out here for an hour and a half. So what? So what? I parked out here for an hour and a half. So what? I'm doing surveillance as a private investigator. Oh, why didn't you call us and tell us? Because I didn't want you to know. You know, some of those. I don't want those local communities. Listen, it's sort of like when I go in these small towns, it's sort of like, how can I put this? I don't know. Sometimes I want to cooperate with the police and tell them, hey, look, I'm here. Other times I don't want to because they're really snarly and things like that. So the way different police organizations treat police officers, private investigators, is a bit different. But I try to tell them I'm an ex-cop. They don't care.
But I thought there was like a fraternity amongst you guys.
Oh, ain't no such thing as a fraternity. You got to be kidding me. Especially with the California Highway Patrol. Those guys, they're like robots. They pull you over, you're doing something wrong, they're giving you a ticket, there's just no doubt about it. You can blow them, and you will not get, they will not waive the ticket.
Wow, so the guys are not nice like Eric Estrada?
No. Hey, speaking of Eric Estrada, you know, he was here in San Francisco, I guess about 15 or 20 years ago, maybe right after that, maybe it's been that long ago, when the cops thing in that TV thing you had going on there with the other guy playing, they were Highway Patrol, something like that. But he was here in town and he got booed. He came to a Latino, he came into the Mission District and we booed him. We don't want him there. You know, we booed him out of there. Oh, we booed him off the stage.
What did Eric Estrada do to you guys?
I have no idea, but evidently he didn't fear. He pissed somebody off, and once the boo started going, man, you know, people get into it this and that. Before you know it, he left the stage.
Wow, you know, it's funny. All these, I always thought he was Mexican, but he's a Puerto Rican from Spanish Harlem.
You know, he did. Evidently, George Lopez said that he disrespected George Lopez. Lopez said that he disrespected him, this and that. And then, of course, he says to him, "Look who's on top now." Yeah. Speaking of George Lopez, hit on a friend of mine's wife. I think he wanted to do a threesome with her. I kid you not. And I'm laughing because the guy's a big marijuana vendor here in San Francisco. And he tells me, man, I went to George Lopez show. He goes, the guy tried to hit on my wife. He said, you could do the three of us. What is he talking about? But that's how crazy George. How did I get off on that tangent? I have no idea. Anyway, Terrence Crawford and Canelo Alvarez. Is it going to happen?
It seems that way. You know, Terrence Crawford apparently has agreed to the stipulations, no rehydration clause, and props to him. Listen, it's the biggest fight that can be made in terms of that has the potential for crossover appeal, you know, which is where boxing really, you know, needs, right? You need that niche market. I hope it happens. I mean, it's history. I mean, I think it's a good fight until he gets hit, because I just don't think that he can take Canelo Alvarez's punch and power, but it won't be the first time I'm wrong if I am wrong. But I really hope it happens sometime in May.
I really think that you overestimate the punching power, per se, of Canelo Alvarez. He's a natural. He turned pro at 146 pounds. Maybe at best he was 160, so he's pushing it by 8 pounds. So the 8 pounds are a gift. I mean, they're just a gift because he doesn't want to sweat down to 160, okay? So I get that. But I just don't think he's that big of a guy at 168, because that's the reason why he won't fight Benavidez. Speaking of David Benavidez, want to mention this. My man Frank here says, Frank, the house historian, says, Canelo Alvarez explains why he won't fight David Benavidez. When Benavidez approaches me like that and calls me out like that, I don't need to give him any money, said Canelo Alvarez to the Ring podcast, blah, blah, blah. At this point, I fought with the champions, all the champions, and all the best out there. I can do whatever I want now. I don't like the way he approached me to get the fight. Kiss my ass. I mean, you know, I am so appalled with Canelo Alvarez. Is it just me? Is it just me here?
No, that room is... There's very little elbow room in that room of people that are upset with Canelo. Canelo was on the verge of being talked about the all-time greats. And, you know, he is now being questioned. You know, his manhood, it has to come in question. Look, Benavidez, you know, is a street dude. You know, I mean, he's a guy that he's got no problems, you know, punching you in the face in the gym, as we've seen, you know, him and his brother. And I thought when he was seeking that fight, he was very respectful, you know. But then as the years, because I'm talking about he's been the number one contender for about 2 years at one point, of course you're going to get a little, you know, ornery. So, you know, Canelo's saying that basically he's the prettiest girl in the dance, and it would be a privilege to him, you know, of him to dance with me. You know what? Take a walk. And when they're inducting Canelo Alvarez at the Hall of Fame, I will be, I guarantee you, if he doesn't fight Benavidez, I'm going to be yelling. They're going to throw me out because I'm going to yell Benavidez's name. And he's going to have to answer for that.
Oh, okay, hold on just a second. Hold on. We have Canelo in the studio. What do you say, Canelo? Does that mean I won't fight? Does that mean I won't fight Benavidez? Is that what that means? We even got a Mexican Chihuahua. You can check that out, right? We got a Mexican Chihuahua do the barking. I'm trying to be as realistic as possible. Am I throwing things too fast at you today, soccer? What?
No. Listen, Canelo is acting like a bitch. There's no other way to put it. You know, I mean, he's made more money than he'll ever spend. At this point, you know, where is your pride? Where is your sense of history? You know, I mean, we know that he's very nationalistic. But when he sits at that big boy table with Julio Cesar Chavez, Eric Morales, Marco Antonio Barrera, guess what? When they're talking under their breath, they're not saying nice things about him. You know, those guys fought the best, you know, in their prime. And Canelo, you know, we know that he picked and chose certain guys. But Benavidez is the man at 168, and he has to answer for that. But now, also, Benavidez has to get by David Morrell, which is no easy task, you know, but he needs to fight the winner of that fight.
Stick around. We're going to talk about that after. Bottom line is Canelo's in the house.
I am the Frito Bandido. I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandido. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandido, you must not offend.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. That's 800-773-5112.
Keep listening for a free virus protection offer. Protect your computer from crashing and online scams. According to national research, one-third of all computers are infected with some sort of computer malware. And one-third of you have been a victim of online fraud. Protect yourself now with My Computer Works. We're an 18-year-old U.S.-based company with a 4.8 Google rating. We've helped your neighbors protect their computers for almost 20 years. And now you too can be protected for less than $1 a day. Get your total PC home support right now. Call our U.S.-based specialist right now and learn about our free offer. And remember, if we can't help you, our services cost you nothing. So call right now.
800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. That's 800-352-7618.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Want to mention this for the fact that the flu is running around and Walgreens is giving free flu shots. I'm not a big Walgreens fan at all because of their birth control policies, but the bottom line is they are giving away free flu shots. Check them out, Walgreens.com. You are tuned. And listen, if you get the flu and you don't get the vaccine, just stay home and suffer. Just stay, because don't go to the emergency room. Don't take up space in the hospital. Bottom line is you brought that spit on yourself. When I say spit on the show, I say spit with an A. Straight up. Ring Talk Live worldwide on the air, of course, with the man from the Bronx. We're talking about boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. The Battle of the Davids is 1 week away. I'm supposed to be there, but I'm not sure yet. Bottom line is, who's going to win?
I'm sticking with Benavidez. You know, I'm sticking with the guy that's been there before to the big dance. I think that he's in his prime. I think he's going to have too much firepower for Morell. I know Morell is very talented. I know he's kind of like the cool pick. You know, because of his splashy style, you know, he's got the Cuban background, amateur background. But I think just Benavidez is going to be a little too much, too seasoned for Morell.
Tommy D, you know, Tommy D is the guy that has those shows on all those other networks. I don't want to mention them because some of them might be prohibited. But the bottom line is Tommy D's picking Benavidez, picking David Morell.
I know he is. Yeah, and listen, I can't knock you for it. You can make a case. I just think Benavidez is it matters. Experience matters, you know, in fights, in big fights, and not in a bad way, because Benavidez is still in his prime. Now, if you tell me that, hey, I'm going with the experience, and the guy's 36, hey, then that's a bad omen. But Benavidez is battle tested, but not shop worn. So that's why I'm picking Benavidez.
True, but he doesn't take care of himself between fights, and I don't like that. So, you know, there's one knock on him, that's it. He looked like a Pillsbury Doughboy between his last two fights.
That's a good point. But I think that's just his DNA. I mean, if you look at pictures when he was young, he was just a fat kid. And I can't remember the guy's name, but there's a UFC guy that, you know, that did an interview, and he was talking about training in his gym. He said, yeah, man, how come you went into mixed martial arts instead of boxing? He said, there's this fat kid that just kept beating me up, and it was David Benavidez. So I think that's just how he is. And, come fight night, he will be in great shape. And he never tires. The guy gets stronger as the fight goes on.
Good point. Straight up, you have a good week. Hug the family. We'll talk real soon.
Thank you for having me on, my brother. Enjoy your weekend and enjoy the fights.
Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, of course. According to Frank 1961, who evidently has his Twitch tag back, he aired some porn. I think it was some porn, something like that. Something illegal on Twitch. Twitch sort of bounced him around, but he's back. Frank 1961 is back, of course, a house historian. And he says, Arthur McCanny was born on the 27th of January, 1920, in Brockton, Massachusetts, of course, the hometown of Marvin Hagler as well. But I want to say one thing about Arthur. He was one of the nicest men I've ever encountered in my entire life. And when Arthur used to call me Pedro, you know, he didn't call everybody the first thing. He was like a formal guy, like Mr. This and Mr. That. But when he called me Pedro, it was sort of special when Arthur called me. Of course, Arthur was the referee of the first Ali-Frazier fight. And I remember when I said to him, what was, he goes, when Ali got knocked down in the 15th round, he goes, I knew he was getting up and that Joe was in a bit of trouble after that. I said, why is that? He goes, because Ali was throwing and Joe was catching. For the most part, he thought, you know, Arthur thought Arthur didn't say that Ali won the fight, but, you know, Arthur said that Ali landed a lot of punches, no doubt about that. Speaking of Ali, I'll get to him in just a bit. But the bottom line is, let's go back to some of the stuff that the House historians put to us. Eusebio Pedroza, January 24th, retains the WBA featherweight title with a 15-round unanimous nod over Juan Laporte. Juan Laporte, of course, a two-time challenger for the title, both at 130 pounds. Anyway, bottom line, 126 pounds. Pedroza landed 51 low blows. I think it was 51. I think they counted them. 50. They needed a copy box for that. 51 low blows in the 15-round fight. Laporte bitched about the decision. Bottom line is, he couldn't beat an old man. Shame on you. Speaking of Pedroza, he died of cancer. And before he died of cancer, I was with him in in Panama. Take that back. I wasn't with him. I was with Roberto Duran, and Duran had just visited him. And I said, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I was saying, you know, what happened with Barry McGuigan? And he said, and Pedroza said, I've never been hit that hard in my entire life, ever, by anything. So bottom line is Barry really did hit hard. Of course, Barry, a flash in the pan until he ran into Stevie Cruz there in the 115-degree heat. We trained with him in Palm Springs at the Canyon Hotel, of course, with Roberto Duran, who was a headliner, and Barry McGuigan was underneath, and Barry wouldn't come out in the sun. I mean, he was an Irish guy, he was white in the sun, but he wouldn't come out in the sun. He trained in an air-conditioned tent, and then he ran about 4 o'clock in the morning when it was really cool in Palm Springs. So the bottom line is, he was never exposed to the heat. So of course, when the heat hit him on that day in June of 1986, of course, it almost killed him, no doubt about that. The Irish guy did not fare well that night, no doubt about that. Good old Barry still training fighters all across the pond. Give him props. Here's a good one. January 25th, 2003. Ricardo Mayorga stops Vernon Forrest in 3 rounds to win the welterweight championship down there at Pechanga Resort in Temecula, California. Let me tell you about this. This was great. We're at the weigh-in. It's the day before. Dan Goosen, may he rest in peace, of course, the late promoter. He was promoting that fight. And Vernon Forrest and Vernon Forrest is on the scale, and Ricardo Mayorga is standing next to him. He's smoking a cigarette, right? He's got a cigarette in his mouth. He took the cigarette out and flicked it in Vernon Forrest's face while Vernon Forrest was standing on the scale. So obviously this unnerved Vernon Forrest, right? So before anybody could do anything, I started cracking up. I mean, I thought it was the funniest bit I ever saw. I mean, I was laughing. I was rolling. I couldn't believe it. I mean, imagine the audacity, the chutzpah, the nuts, the balls, to flick a lit cigarette in some guy's face who is the reigning world champion. You know, on the scale. So anyway, Vernon Forrest held that against me for the rest of his life. He died, about 10 years ago. Somebody shot him when he ran after somebody in some type of gas station beef. But the bottom line is, shouldn't be running after people with a gun. But Vernon, I saw him at Caesar's shop, I guess about 3 or 4 months before he died in Las Vegas. I was shopping, trying to be cool, you know, buying the GQ thing down there. Anyway, so he walks up to me and he starts screaming at me in the middle of nowhere. I mean, he just starts screaming. Hey, blah, blah, blah. I didn't flick a cigarette at you. He did. All I did was laugh. Okay? He said, no, you set that up. I know you set that up. Mayorga wasn't smart. Wait, you giving me credit? No. I was doing the TV, man. I was doing the TV today. I mean, like, I'm going to piss off the headliner? You got to be kidding me. Bottom line is Vernon Forrest, may he rest in peace. And Mayorga, a character, no doubt about that. But he was, that was a great night in the world of boxing. Of course, Mayorga beat him in the rematch. It was a 12-round decision. Of course, that was in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, some other stuff as far as boxing historians are concerned. I got to tell you, this week I was thinking about the old-timers and talking to some of the old-timers here in San Francisco. And, you know, San Francisco had some good fighters, but the bottom line is they were all opponents. They were always the B-side of records. That's why you never heard of too many great fighters from San Francisco. I mean, come on. Pat Valentino, that was like 1951. And Pat Valentino, of course, lost in a battle for the title. But the bottom line is, you know, outside of him, Jimmy Lester, come on. I don't know. Not too many. Pat Lawler. Pat Lawler wasn't the greatest fighter in the world. Of course, I knocked him down with a body shot in the gym, That's in the gym. And of course, he fought Roberto Duran twice. He beat him the first time. Of course, he waited 10 years, went back, and Duran almost killed him that second time. Busted bones in his face with poor Pat Lawler. Speaking of Pat Lawler, still running the streets of San Francisco and North Beach. More power to him. He looked pretty good. I saw a picture of him a couple of weeks ago. He didn't look like he was heavily inebriated or anything like that. And that's a good sign when it comes to Pat Lawler, because Pat Lawler was always damp. He just was. January 27, 1967. Wanted to go back in time. Get this. I'm talking about Cape Canaveral and Cape Kennedy, whatever you want to call it. Of course, we're talking about the place where NASA launches the spaceships down there in Florida. January 27, 1967, Roger Chaffee, who had never been up in space before, Ed White, who was the first man to ever walk in space in a Gemini flight, that was the flight before the Apollo series, anyway, and Gus Grissom was the second man to ever fly in space. He was in the Mercury program back in the 50s, late 50s. Bottom line is, of course, these three guys were on the launch pad practicing where Apollo 1 when the spacecraft caught fire and they died. January 27, 1967, those guys are three big heroes in my life. I just look back in time, and every time January 27th comes around, I don't think of the fact that my father's birthday is close to it. No. I think about the fact that these three guys. I finally heard the tape. I guess about 2 years ago, and you can hear them. Ah! I mean, you know, these guys, I mean, they're in a spacecraft, a little tiny space capsule, and he catches on fire. They were running pure oxygen as far as the air was concerned. Bad mistake, because when a spark went off, a spark in one of the wires, spark, set the fire off, and before you knew it, it was all over. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA, of course. As I said earlier, the monster destroyed Mr. Kim in the fourth round. Of course, Mr. Kim came to fight, but when you come to fight, and you come to a gunfight with knives, you're not going to win. You're just not going to win. That's what happened with the poor Korean guy. Of course, when I call him Peace Who Spit, that's not really a knock on him. I mean, the guy came in on 1 week's notice, and he gave it his shot, so give him props for that. But the bottom line is, most Korean guys back in the days, we called them, they take it back. Flash Gordon called him Peace Who Spit, but he wasn't as kind as I was and used the spit word, use the other word. Anyway, guess who? Jaron Ennis, IBF welterweight champion, guy that was supposed to be headed for greatness, right? 33 and zip, 29 KOs, coming out of Philadelphia, oh boy, the city of brotherly love. You know where all the brothers, all the great fighters came from, like, you know, Bernard Hopkins. Come on, man. Jaron Ennis, IBF welterweight champion, 33 and zip, now 29 KOs. He's fought meat like 29 times of the 33 wins. He's fought nothing but guys that he was supposed to beat. He's never fought anybody that was supposed to beat him or was supposed to be in contention to beat him. Bottom line is, he's not going to take on the WBA welterweight title holder. You know, these titles are all split up now. The WBA, the World of Bunko and Anarchy, the WBC, Weeby Canelo, and of course the IBF, the International Black Federation. That's what they call them, but I don't know. It's International Boxing Federation is the Black Federation. Of course, they were brought into business to foster and sponsor black fighters. So that's what Bob Lee told me. Bob Lee told me that Jose Suleiman was screwing black fighters with the WBC and that Gilberto Mendoza was screwing fighters with the WBA. And, of course, that was back in the 80s when he started the International Boxing Federation, I believe, in 1983, 84, right? So he talked about Gilberto Mendoza and Suleiman running the WBC and the WBA back then, right? Well, guess what? Gilberto Mendoza Jr. runs the WBA now, and Mauricio Suleiman, Jose Suleiman's son, runs the WBC now. Come on, man. Something's up. You got to be kidding me. Didn't nobody else want these jobs? You got to come on. Of course, it stinks to high heaven. There's no doubt about that. But Jaron Ennis, 33 and zip, 29 KOs, going to take on Almantis Stanilis. I have a problem with that guy's name. 15-09 KOs. He can punch, but, you know, sort of like a, I don't know, how can I put this? He can punch, but he's probably not in the same league as this guy. So Jaron Ennis is probably a little bit better fighter, but Jaron Ennis is getting long in the tooth. I mean, how long can you keep fighting guys like me and you and keep winning? But the bottom line is that he has. Jaron Ennis, 33 and zip. They're going to clash. Looks like April the 12th. That'll be on ESPN television. Straight up, you are talking about the zone. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. When we come back, I'm going to change subjects a little bit. Talk about the city of San Francisco.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about, Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003.
800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
One of my all-time faves when it comes to the AWB, One Look Over My Shoulder. Of course, that came, I think, from album number 3, Cut the Cake. I'm not sure. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, I am a San Francisco native, born and raised a long time ago. Of course, I've seen a lot of things come and go. I've seen Candlestick Park get built, and of course, Candlestick Park get torn down. So I've seen some stuff here, and of course, I am of the opinion that of all the places I've been in the world, I've been to 34 countries. The most lawless place I've ever been was the Tenderloin in San Francisco about 2.5 years ago. One Saturday night, I was on Eddy Street, and I just couldn't believe what was going on around me. It was just unbelievable. It was like nothing but criminals everywhere. It was like criminals running left and right. And I said to myself, where is the police department? Somebody told me the police department doesn't come anywhere. Now, Bob Toomey's my guy. Of course, he's Mr. San Francisco. He was up there on Knob Hill for a long, long time. Was it the Mark or the Fairmont?
Fairmont Hotel.
This isn't just San Francisco. This stuff, I saw pictures of Toronto, Canada. They're having this stuff. People in tents in Toronto living in the streets, this and that. What's the answer?
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm a fifth generation San Franciscan as well, and I lived on O'Farrell Street for a while as a young man. So I've seen a lot of San Francisco and how San Francisco's
remember
changed.
Remember when there were hookers on O'Farrell?
A lot of hookers.
Good-looking hookers back in the day. I mean, it's hard. But listen, that was when the city was a little bit more. How could I put this? It wasn't taboo, per se. You know what I'm saying? The girls were out there, and everybody knew they were doing, but they weren't killing people or robbing people.
Well, my dad's union hall was at 240 Golden Gate, so, okay. I mean, I really go back. I've seen all of it, and when I was working in the legislature, we were at Golden Gate Avenue as well, at 455 Golden Gate. Mm-hmm. So the Tenderloin is part of my life throughout. Okay. And
now, the Tenderloin's got three types of people. It's got criminals. It's got poor people, and it's got the insane or the people that need mental help, this and that. How do you help those two groups with the criminals still being there?
And that's always the trick, because they've pushed all the criminals into that section at the same time that they've put all the mentally ill people recovering from drug and also the poor people. The Vietnamese community and other people have all been shoved into that one space.
Well, Vietnamese people, you know, there ain't. When's the last time we saw a stray dog in the Tenderloin?
And that's the whole thing.
Let me tell you.
Those bad jokes are part of the problem, right?
And there's not a bad joke. In the 70s and 80s, when the Vietnamese came here, there were all kinds of dogs on the street in the Tenderloin, right? And then they vanished.
What about the wild animals in Golden Gate Park? We used to see little rabbits after Easter every year. You'd see little rabbits in Golden Gate Park.
You can't blame all
Puerto
Ricans on that. 1974,
we never saw that thing anymore. That was the end of that. But I think the biggest challenge we have is everybody having to understand their job, and it starts with the beat cops being able to trust that the next level is going to take care of their business, and the next level is going to take care of their business. The legislators are going to take care of their business. If everybody does their job, we have somebody handling the business, and one of the jobs is when you see something like a guy slanging, you got to pick him up. You can't just ignore it. And if you ignore it, what are they going to do? They're going to terrorize the people that live in those spaces.
Listen, guys come. Listen, Herzl. Guys come from across the bay, off around. I mean, guys don't sell help. They don't sell heroin on the streets of Oakland. You can't buy it on the streets of Oakland. You can buy it in San Francisco. You can buy fentanyl. They don't even sell heroin anymore. It's fentanyl. But yeah. The bottom line is, you can't buy this anywhere But in the city, and all the Hondurans are on these countries, on these corners selling all these drugs. It's not hard. You do Narcotics 101, you bust them all.
Yeah. But everybody's got to trust that next level is going to do their job. If I'm going to pick somebody up.
You're trying to say the cops do the arrest and the DA is not going to do it?
If the DA knows that the cops are picking them up and the DAs are going to prosecute, they also got to trust that the legislators are not going to change the rules. Because if those rules are just and everybody's prosecuting, the courts are actually prosecuting, everybody's going to do their job. Cop picks them up, guy prosecutes, courts put them away, everybody does their job, we clean it up.
Good enough. Bob Toomey, good old San Francisco. I miss you. Good to have you in the studio. Straight up, this has been Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing, MMA, and, of course, San Francisco.